Honey, come here.
Come on. You all right?
Stop. What is the matter with you?
He started it. He ate my pizza on purpose. He knows I ate sausage and olives and
look
onions
what you
and...
did, you little jerk.
This house is so full of people. It makes me sick. When I grow up and get married, I'm living alone. Did you hear me?
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're smashing the wet bandits with paint cans while our parents and the rest of the family are in Paris. From 1991, we're playing Home Alone for the NES by a little company called Bethesda Softworks. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host and a guy who only likes cheese pizza, Todd Brisket.
I made my family disappear. Hey, hang on a second, you guys. What the hell are we doing? Why are we playing this game? Why is this how we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior this year, 2015, by playing this goddamn game? Is this what we're doing?
I couldn't think of a better way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a church scene in Home Alone. I don't know what your problem is.
Multiple.
Yeah, there's a nativity in there. It's a movie about family and about the abandonment of family. So a lot of lessons. The other voice you heard, he's our other co-host. He only uses toothbrushes approved by the American Dental Association. It's Huell Hauser.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
That is the scariest line in the movie.
If you want to reach us by email about this movie, which features tons of terrifying adults, you can do so at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, get into the giving holiday spirit and buy some Star Wars stuff, even though we're now covering Home Alone. You can do that on Amazon. Our click-through link is on www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Home Alone. In 1990, a movie about a psychopathic 8-year-old terrorizing a pair of grown-ups concerned about the security of his home was a surprise hit of the Christmas season. Home Alone made $285 million in North America during its theatrical run, which spanned for several months well past Christmas, and the movie made $477 million worldwide. This spawned a slew of video game adaptations, most of which released in time for the Christmas season of 1991. It came out for 8 different systems. Super Nintendo, the Genesis, the Sega Master System, the Game Gear, the Amiga, the PC, the Game Boy, and the version we're covering today for the NES. It was by a little company called Bethesda Softworks, which would go on to create some games you might have actually heard of, Skyrim and Fallout.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah,
but we'll continue.
Yeah, I'm not sure which company had an odder start, them or Rare. I guess rare kind of.
This is a little bit odder.
Yeah.
What was Rare's first game?
Rare just did a bunch of like decent licensed games. Then they had Battletoads. Then they got Donkey Kong Country and never really looked back.
Yeah.
But now they're in the crapper again.
This one seems weirder.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we'll examine the Bethesda list a little bit later. Todd, I think you had the most time to tinker with the traps of this game. This week, so why don't you start off the discussion for us?
Sure. Going back to what we just talked about is like when I first booted up this game, you know, I think I remember playing the Super Nintendo version a long time ago, and not being very good. And when I booted this one up this past week for the NES, first screen I saw said Bethesda Softworks. And my mind was blown. I was like, this is the same company that is making that made Fallout 4 that I'm playing.
It blew the mind of your young child as well, clearly.
It had to be like some sort of acquisition they made of like a real development team later on. Like, I don't know, because...
Since we're getting into it, here is the Bethesda early kind of dossier.
For the listener, we're blown away because this is such a terrible, terrible game.
Yeah. Actually, we should get into that first, where this game is bad. I mean, it's notoriously bad on pretty much every platform, But the NES game consisted of you're basically on one area. It kind of stretches a little bit, but you are laying traps for the Wet Bandits. The traps are just these little tiny squares that you lay down on the ground.
Yeah, on paper, like I started reading the manual and I'm like, all right, this sounds great. Like you're in the house, you can collect traps and set them all. Marv and Harry are after you, and you have to fend them off till the cops come. Like that's a great premise. But as Steve is explaining, it does not work out that way.
No, it does not. it's just these little squares that you lay down. There are no specific animations.
No.
For
all the traps are exactly the same.
Yes.
It's just a square with a little symbol on each one. That one looks like a light bulb. One looks like Christmas ornaments, and that's it.
You can pick up paint cans or soap or the tarantula or an
iron. But there's
no
difference. But it's just a little square. Yes,
they're all just different squares, or the same square with different pictures on them. Mm-hmm. And you lay them down, and Marv or Harry run into them and fall over, and that buys you a little time to run away. And that is the entire game.
Yes. So the goal of the game is to do that for 20 minutes.
Yes.
That is the goal
of the
game. That
is the torturous task that you are assigned in this video game adventure.
Is this a safe place, guys?
Please.
I could not last 20 minutes.
Oh, no. No.
Not that.
Not at all, yeah.
I feel like I could have done it, but I played this for... I got down to about 13 minutes on the timer, and I was like, nope, I'm done.
No, I got down to 5 minutes. It's like, I know how this game is played, and I see I have to do it for 15 more minutes, and I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. The end.
Yeah, that's
and I looked up the ending online, so which is the picture I just sent you guys.
Now, Marv looks like some sort of chimpanzee.
And
we have an ancient policeman,
and Mo from the Three Stooges.
And a Prince Valiant-esque... Kevin is very pleased.
Yeah, so if you outlast the Wet Bandits for 20 minutes, this is the screen you're rewarded with.
This is your reward. A chimpanzee and a stooge being carted away. Oh, that is disappointing.
Yeah. By an like a 1920s Irish policeman.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
A lot of red in this game.
Oh, what are you doing?
I mean, I saw the failure screen multiple times, and that is a very hyper realistic depiction of Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, it is
saying oh no with his hands upon his face.
Yeah,
in a hilarious fact.
This ending end screen rendering is the worst depiction of Macaulay Culkin in a video game.
Yes, it's funny that the best and worst are in the same video game. Mm-hmm. I guess the good son might have been somewhere in the middle.
That was a classic
the Sega Game Gear.
Was that a classic puzzle game?
It's where
the good son.
Where you're trying to avoid your parents while you're setting up your brother, your adopted brother, for
failure.
It's very similar to Home Alone, actually. But
it is, yeah.
We'll go on. I could not believe how bad this was.
Now, by the way, for the past minute or two, I've been trying to look up this game on like Bethesda's on their CV.
Yeah,
and for some reason, it's not on there.
It's not there. It's not there. It's not there on the wiki or anywhere. I couldn't find it either.
No,
they kind of want to brush this one under the covers.
Oh yeah, definitely. It does seem like in the Atari generation, this was way more common. But even in the NES generation, this still happened where. Like a smaller game company would just get, you know, a quick contract like this to just, oh, here's a movie, slap together a game for it. And this definitely feels like one of them. Just from how stupid everything is in this game. Like there's no animation. Except when Kevin gets caught by one of the Wet Bandits, when I thought it looked like he was getting molested.
There's heavy undertones of molestation in this game and movie, if we're being honest.
Yeah, the movie he's Wait,
do you remember in the scene when Kevin is hung up on the closet door, mm-hmm. and Joe Pesci is there like caressing his fingers and
he's threatening to bite them off?
Yeah, that is very. That's just a prelude to what's going to happen.
Well, I meant a prelude. It's the end of the movie.
He means what Pesci's going to do.
Yeah, well, that's just the beginning of Pesci's.
Before Old Man Marley saves the day. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was odd that you thought my line was the creepiest in the movie.
Well, it's not the creepiest. It's just the most abusive and bizarre line.
They threatened to bite his fingers off.
No, that's fine. But when he says... His uncle said, "Look what you did, you little jerk." And then the entire movie goes silent and everybody's just staring at Kevin. Poor little Kevin.
Mm-hmm. All he did was ruin everyone's dinner. It's a big deal.
What would happen if somebody in your family, this uncle that you rarely see, you see him maybe once every three years.
Not his own child. Yeah.
He comes into your house.
Yes.
Comes into your house.
My home. Where my children sleep.
He eats your pizza and drinks your Pepsi and milk. And he says, "Look what you did, you little jerk." How would you feel?
It would be, I feel like Uncle Frank would be the one chastised and not Kevin. If I'm going to be honest here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there's not a lot of parenting going on in the movie. Like,
oh, no.
You know. They do leave their 8-year-old son behind.
Mm-hmm.
Not to spoil Home Alone for anyone. But...
House full of kids, no parents. Must be a fancy orphanage.
Yeah, there's a lot of them McAllisters running around.
Mm-hmm.
Before the show, I was actually looking at a list of where are they now for the actors and actresses from this movie, and I had forgotten how many goddamn kids there are in this movie. There's five
aside.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, here's one of his cousins. Here's the pretty cousin. Now here is the cute cousin.
There is a distinct difference.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, and actually, oddly enough, Macaulay Culkin is obviously the hero of the movie, but one of the cousins actually, his sister in the movie became an ass kicker in real life. She became a Olympic judo champion.
What?
Yeah, not Ronda Rousey.
Oh, it's not. Oh, okay.
No, it was a different.
That was my assumption.
Nope. Ronda Rousey was not in this. Hillary Wolf. She played Megan in Home Alone.
Okay.
And she competed for the U.S. in 1996 and 2000 Summer Olympics.
Did she succeed?
No.
Right. Well,
she's dead to us now.
She's a failure to her country.
Mm-hmm. And also, she stopped acting after Home Alone 2, which is, you know, kind of a down note to go on.
Well, Macaulay Culkin's brother, Kieran Culkin, has continued acting.
Yeah, he is.
Some say Kieran is the superior of the McCulkins, or whatever the name is.
I honestly don't think that's a debate, because Kieran actually still continues to work, and Macaulay is a weird, druggy recluse, so it's hard to reconcile that.
I think I would have to agree with that, where Macaulay obviously had the huge leg up with Home Alone, but... In Home Alone, I'm not even sure he's acting. Like, he's just acting like a kid would.
Yeah, and he's being a douchey kid.
Yeah, they're just saying, "Hey, Macaulay, you're a stuck-up rich snob kid. Here, go be yourself in this house."
Yeah. Hey, wouldn't it be great if you ordered pizza and you played a prank on the delivery man with your VCR?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that does sound like fun.
The most believable scene in the movie.
Oh, I
died. A pizza delivery man would think a TV playing a VHS tape is real life.
Just leave it on the door and get the hell out of here.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that pizza delivery boy did not call the police for a man shooting at him.
Yes.
It is, well, the police wouldn't have even bothered checking anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They would knock on the door once, and then leave.
The weird thing is that why did he even need to do that? Because, like, is there an age restriction on selling pizza? Would the pizza man not have sold him the pizza if he answered the door?
That is something I did not really think of. The many times I've seen this, I would not have...
Maybe there's some Robitussin on that pizza and they need to check his ID first or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just Illinois state law. You have to be 18 years or older to get a pizza delivered.
I mean, this is a John Hughes movie, kind of. Didn't he write it or something like that?
Yeah, it was written by...
Yeah, you can tell it's not a real John Hughes movie to me, since it is kind of mean in certain parts, which does, I mean, I still like it, but it's not quite a Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something like that. So. Well, we basically talked about all the aspects of the gameplay. as odd as that seems, you know, 10 minutes into the episode, but literally
not surprising.
Yeah, well, you didn't mention that you can walk out of you can climb out of the second floor window and climb across a rope into your treehouse.
I did like that.
Oh yeah.
That's like one of the few things I enjoyed.
Yeah, that was kind of neat, and you can go into like another house, which happens to be located like...
Wait, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that I did not know.
Or maybe it's meant to be the basement of your house. It's hard to
tell. You're thinking of the basement. That is the basement on the bottom of the screen.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was like the creepy neighbor's house or something.
I did, apparently there's a secret I did not discover. Well, it's because I only played it for like 3 minutes.
Well, here's another secret, you guys, real quick.
Ooh.
Did you guys know there are certain areas of the house where you can actually hide? You can go into the Christmas tree. You can go into the basement. There's some books in the basement. You can hide in those books and boxes. And you can hang out there for 5 minutes. And the wet bandits will pass by you 2 times before you're revealed.
I did see that in the manual. I just couldn't figure out where or how to hide. Like, you press
so
up.
If you can tell just by that description alone, this game is fantastic. Because, hey, kids! You ever win a game where you sit in a tree for 5 minutes and just sit there doing nothing?
Just sit there and wait?
Yeah, well, this is a game that teaches kids about voyeurism. Just having fun watching people.
Well, the funny thing is, when you guys covered Metal Gear Solid, we said it was almost the first stealth game that really spawned the stealth game genre, but... Really think about it. Clearly, it was Home Alone.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
This is the spawn of the stealth game, hiding in a tree for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue.
It is. I mean, this game is bad. Well, and also, yes, you can go over to the treehouse and you can go down to the basement. Except you can't because the control. Like, if you're only going to do one screen, at least do that one screen really well. No, the control's all screwed up, too. Like if you're actually trying to go up and down stairs, it's very clunky and hard to do that.
It's extremely slow.
Yes. So it doesn't, like, even control well for the what little you have
like
to
do. They must have made this in, like, 4 days. It's like,
yeah.
Even with one level / screen, or I guess two... There's just so much more they could have done. But even what little they have doesn't work that well.
Yeah, there's the only things that move on the screen are your characters. The traps do not move. The wet bandits move, but it's only from left to right, and so do you. You only move left to right, and you can go up and down some stairs.
Yeah, the stairs.
So really, there are only 4 things that are animated in this entire game. and yet, still, it's still, they do not animate correctly, and the play control is still completely off. And also, this, as I said, this game came out in 1991. Like, this is a game that they could have made on Atari.
Yeah, pretty much.
it's like worse than a lot of Atari games. Like, never mind like good Atari games, but like, you know, all things considered, this is probably worse than like E.T., which is always held up as,
well,
like the licensed game that's the worst of all time.
I thought the problem with E.T. is like you couldn't even complete it because it was just completely broken.
Yeah, but E.T.
theoretically, you could finish this game if you hated yourself.
True. But even E.T. was released at a time when games were still kind of screwed up and wonky in general.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, like, you know, this came out like 6 years after Super Mario Brothers. So,
it is bad.
Yeah,
I argue with that.
Yeah, I always tend to grade out games more harshly if they're like bad for their era. Like, you know, to me it's worse that something like there, I think it's Big Rig Truckers is the game where which is
Big Rigs. Yeah
that game to me is probably legitimately the worst of all time, all things
that's just good. that game's the worst because it's just an incomplete game.
Yeah, it's just buggy and broken.
Yeah, but it was actually sold in stores and whatnot. So
is E.T.
Yeah, true. They're all bad.
Gotcha.
You got me good.
Pew
pew. Pew pew. Strikes again.
Well, let's go into a little bit of the history here, and then we can talk about the other things we want to talk about, like the other movies. Home Alone, it has a legacy of being one of the most persistent bargain bin games, to the point that even Nintendo Power made fun of it a couple times, and they tended to be pretty hands-off on everything, being the company publication. The movie was followed by two sequels of diminishing returns, and then two TV movies that really stretched out the series. In the fourth movie, Kevin's dad divorces the mom and decides to move away, which...
Wait a minute. I didn't think Kevin was in the other movies. He's in the second one.
Yep.
But I thought the third one was...
He is not in the third. The third one, which came out in movie theaters, is just about a different kid who gets left home alone.
Yeah.
The fourth one stars a different actor, but it is Kevin McAllister.
Wow. And they pull a Mrs. Doubtfire?
I don't know.
Throw a divorce in the mix?
Yeah. Because, you know, when you're watching a Home Alone movie, you want it to be about divorce. Because, so I guess the dad keeps Kevin and just Kevin. The mom gets the other five kids or four kids.
Oh, well, naturally.
Yeah. And then they move across the country and I think he gets left home alone again, I'm presuming. I guess the fifth movie actually got semi-okay reviews, but...
Wow.
Yeah, but seriously, there are five movies.
I knew there were three. I did not, though, there were two more.
I knew that there was a fourth. I did not realize that there was a fifth. There were video games based on the second movie, but then they took a little break at that point, probably because the movie series was kind of dormant at that point. Now, oddly, there was a Home Alone game that came out for the PlayStation 2 in 2006 for Europe.
Yeah.
Even though this was at the point, like, there was no movie out. So, from the Wikipedia summary, Home Alone was released to extremely negative reviews from critics, and much like every other video game produced by Blast Entertainment, it sold poorly. Its existence is largely unknown to the gaming world.
Yeah, and I think it was released only in Europe.
Yep, only in Europe, because I guess we needed to pay them back for World War II or something. No, I did not look up gameplay videos of that one. I took Wikipedia at its word. I did play Home Alone 2 for the NES, which is a tiny bit better than Home Alone. Home Alone 2 is more of a traditional side-scroller, and the movie is set in, like, New York. He gets left at a New York hotel, something like that.
I mean, something like that.
Oh,
that's exactly what happens.
Okay, I forgot how he How does he get to
New York? Oh, they split up at the airport, and then he flies to New York.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what happened. My bad. Exactly.
Yeah, like he goes into the wrong tunnel or something like that.
He starts he gets distracted and starts following the wrong family onto the wrong flight.
See, when you're about to board a plane, you really need batteries for your Talkboy. So you must stop in the middle of running to your plane in order to change the batteries and then lose your family and then follow the wrong man that's wearing the same coat as your father onto the New York flight.
Oh, yes.
It's a common mix-up.
Yeah, I remember now. And then he checks into a hotel for the week on like his, because he has his dad's wallet or something like that.
Yeah. So here's a hot take. Ooh. I enjoy Home Alone 2, the movie, a lot more than Home Alone 1.
I'm not going to say more. I think they're at least equal.
I think what pushes 2 over the top is Tim Curry. He's great.
Fantastic. And probably Rob Schneider's only good movie role.
Oh, I don't know.
Except for the You Can Do It guy.
Yeah, I was going to say. I know.
In Waterboy.
I know a big fan of the Waterboy. And,
ooh, I think we all do.
Yeah. You know, the thing with the second one, though, is that it's basically just the first one in New York.
And what's the problem?
Well, like I just watched the first one. Like I feel like the first one's more genuine.
But now it's in New York.
Like even to the part where they, like every plot element is copied. Like the Wet Bandits are back. They have another weird stranger hobo person with the lady in the park, right? Who feeds the pigeons?
Yeah, the pigeon lady.
Old Man Marley wasn't homeless. He was just a strange old man.
He just looked like he was homeless.
Yeah, he looked like he should have been.
Yeah.
But like, he was.
Like, that coat was so 1989. What was... can't even.
Get with it.
I know. Like, oh, you're sad about your son. How about you get how about you get a hat?
Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
How about you get a hat? That's your solution to everything.
That is true. No, I mean, the second one, the second movie is not, well, if you like the first movie, the second movie is not bad, but it's, you know, it's just more of the same.
And again, what is the problem with that?
I guess.
More of the same is good if it's an excellent more of.
It did do pretty well at the box office. The second movie didn't do quite as well, but it topped out at around, I think it was $375 million. So that's both of them movies did pretty well, considering I think the budgets for both of them were under $25 million. So
oh well.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you think about it, they're really not expensive movies to make. So and likewise, I'm positive all of these awful video games probably made lots of money for their respective companies, because they clearly did not spend a lot of time on them. So,
ugh. Did you have sales numbers? I don't remember if you mentioned those.
I could not find sales numbers for these games. I know that
I can only assume too many parents were duped into buying this.
Yeah, I think that was their thought, and I, you know, I don't think they were not well received commercially, critically. I mean. And I think there may have been something similar going on to E.T. with the E.T. Atari game, where they ordered way too many copies, and that's why they were always in bargain bins. But even then, like, you know, in a bargain bin, you're still making 10. It still went for between 10 and 20 bucks. Like, that's what I remember seeing them for all the time. So thankfully, I never got this game as a kid, but I did get They get other bad licensed games.
Look, shockingly enough, I had not owned this one either.
Oh, wow.
It is surprising.
Brisket, did you ever get this one?
I didn't, no. I never really played these as a young boy.
Well, he's missing out then. What can I say? I was trying to... It's tough for me to remember what bad licensed games I got as a kid, because I managed to successfully trade them or just sell them, like, at this point, 20 years ago, like, to used video game stores. So,
the game we played, which is the NES version, is actually the worst version of this game.
Hard to imagine it getting worse.
Well, there was someone who definitely agreed with Brisket on that one. Little Brisket.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He will not shut up.
Oh, sounds like someone's going to get left home alone on your next trip. have to fend off the wet bandits.
Yeah, so this NES version where the goal of the game is just to be alive for 20 minutes is complete garbage. This is the one made by Bethesda, the makers of the future game of the year, Fallout 4. And all the other versions I've played are made by THQ, and they're much better. It's actually like a real game.
Oh, how about that?
Which other systems did you play it on, if you're allowed to talk?
I played it on Game Boy and Super Nintendo.
Mm.
Oh.
So in those, the goal of the game is not to survive for 20 minutes. It's to collect all your family's valuable jewelry, drop them into a dumbwaiter.
What?
You guys know what those are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A chute.
The pulley system.
A pulley. Collect all your family's precious heirlooms, drop them down the pulleys and into your safe room. And then once you collect all 20 items of jewels, you run down to the safe room yourself. The thing is, this game, that version of the game is so much better. It's the same on Super Nintendo and Game Boy. Game Boy version is far superior to the NES version. The reason why those are so much better is because the control is better. You can jump. You can jump over the wet bandits. You can shoot them with water pistols to kind of slow them down. You can shoot them with a slingshot to incapacitate them. So it's just so much better.
Yeah, it just sounds like more involved gameplay.
Yeah, more involved and more fun.
Are they actually legitimately fun or good games, though?
No. No, they're just better. Better than the NES one.
They're just less bad.
Of course.
Since I brought it up ages ago and you guys brought it up too, the early Bethesda games, according to Wikipedia, something called Gridiron for the Amiga, Wayne Gretzky Hockey, but not Wayne Gretzky Hockey for the N64.
Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey?
Yeah, not that game. That game's fun. Like I played.
Oh
that
yeah, that's the best hockey game I ever played.
Yeah, that's a fun fun arcade style hockey. No, this one came out in 1988 for the PC, the Amiga, and the Atari ST, whatever that is. There was another Wayne Gretzky hockey game. Actually, there were three of them. The Terminator, the PC version, which none of the early Terminator games were good either. So that game wasn't good.
I don't think any Terminator game was good. Early or late. I'm not sure why you made that distinction.
I only made that distinction because I never tried one after the Super Nintendo era. Like, they may have made a good one and I wouldn't know about it. And by the way, they made quite a few of them. They made the Terminator 2029, the Terminator Rampage, the Terminator Future Shock. These are all PC games between, it looks like, 1990 and 1995. They churned out five of them. So
that's kind of what I mean. I mean, they just keep getting released, and no one you've heard nothing good about them.
No, and well, at least like there was a Terminator arcade game where you got to use like an Uzi or something.
Yeah, I do remember that one. I guess that was okay, but
it was insanely hard. Like
it was cool because the Uzi shook like you were actually firing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it was like shooting Terminators.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like that was at Dave and Buster's last time I went, and I tried to play.
Still
not good at all. Well, they Dave and Buster's. I feel like they keep some of the older classic arcade games in there every once in a while, depending on which ones you go to. Because they also had Daytona USA, and I was still pretty good at Daytona.
That is a classic.
Yep.
Daytona.
By the way, I guess the first Bethesda game that might have been good was the Elder Scrolls Arena, came out in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was any good.
I don't know if it was good or not, but it spawned the game that people love, which is Elder Scrolls 2.
Yep. Daggerfall. That's 96. And then from there, like, they kind of toned down their development a tiny bit. There's still a bunch of junk in the 90s, but Morrowind finally comes out in 2002 and really sets them on a firmer path. So,
and they only took over Fallout for Fallout 3, right?
That's right.
Correct.
That is correct.
Yep, Fallout 3 in 2008, it looks like.
Oh boy.
Yep.
So much further ago than I thought.
That's less than, well, it's less than 10 years ago.
Oh, thank you.
Well, they also do, I was also looking at the list of the games they published instead of developed. When it comes to games they've developed, they have really slowed down and kind of focused on what they've put out lately. So that has probably helped. Since 2002, they've basically released Elder Scrolls 3, something called IHRA Professional Drag Racing, 2005. I don't know why they decided to get into that. Elder Scrolls 4, Fallout 3, Elder Scrolls 5, Fallout Shelter, and Fallout 4. That's their entire output since 2002, like games they developed. So
they didn't even do New Vegas?
No, New Vegas was...
That was Obsidian.
Yep, subbed out. Although, obviously, New Vegas, I still haven't played it yet, but I've heard it's just basically... Doesn't it kind of keep most of the stuff from
Fallout? Yeah, it's just 3 in a new setting. So, yeah. They just...
New Vegas does
gave
have...
Them the engine.
They use the engine, but what people say is that the story is better.
Mm-hmm. Probably. It's more.
I don't know the story. More like the world is better. Like
there's more character. Story, characterization. Yeah, there's more to the story, and it branches off and whatnot.
Don't.
That's what New Vegas does.
That's the one I still get to play since I think I'm about a third of the way through 4.
What was your? Nah, never mind. Well, let's just stop.
I just got to the Institute. That's how
far. Ooh.
That's how far in I am. So.
Okay.
I don't think that's much of a spoiler for anyone. So. On this Classic Games podcast. Hmm. All right. So, how about Home Alone? Man. I forgot. Earlier I was talking. I played Home Alone 2 for the NES a little bit. It's a platformer set in that hotel. You can, it's left to right side scrolling. You can collect items. I had no idea how to use them or why I was collecting them. And I died pretty frequently. I got sucked up by a vacuum cleaner, which killed me for some reason.
Herbert Hoover once stayed on this floor.
That must be why there was an attacking vacuum cleaner. And Tim Curry was there. Tim Curry is one of the enemies. That's it. It's enemies throwing random items at you and you have to dodge them. So, I did not get through the first stage, but I also played it for about 2 minutes and then I was like, I'm done with this. it's still better than Home Alone 1 for the NES, but it's still definitely not anything you want to spend time with.
There it is.
Yeah. So think about if you were a kid in 1990, mm-hmm. You watched this Home Alone movie.
Yep.
And you were amazed. This is your favorite movie of all time. You're like, hey man, I want to be Kevin McAllister. This is my dream. I want to make my family disappear. I want to be Home Alone. and set traps.
Battle the burglars.
Put marbles down on the ground and put race cars on the stairs. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Come next Christmas, Mommy Greenwell says, hey, Steve, I got a present for you this Christmas. It's I think you're going to like it. It's based on your favorite movie of all time.
The Wizard?
I know there'd be role-playing today.
The Wizard?
It stars that Coley McCollin kid. It's about Conroy Joe Pesci. Michael. Joe Pesci's trying to molest him or something. And so imagine you wake up on Christmas morning. Uh-huh. Little Stephen Greenwell. Oh, I love Home Alone. This is, I would say, top three movie of all time for me. I'm Stephen Greenwell.
I'm Stephen Greenwell.
My top three movies of all time. Number three, I'd put Home Alone. Number two, well, let's go over this list later.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah, that's a good
number
one.
Oh, no, I didn't like that one. That one was scary.
Can we end this podcast?
And then you open your Christmas present, you get this video game. Like, oh, Mommy Greenwell.
Yeah.
How did you know I wanted this video game? Well, you've been quoting this movie all year long. And you pop it in.
Yep.
And you play it for 10 minutes. And then you say, hey, Mommy, where do you keep the sharp knives?
Oh, jeez.
I don't want to live in this world, Mommy.
Oh, my.
And here we are today.
Hmm. Accurate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Paint quite the picture.
It's like you took a time machine back to my childhood. I will say, though, that I did not like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was a kid.
Oh, well, you made that very
really?
Funny. Yeah, because I thought...
You're not a Rick Moranis fan or what?
I thought the ants were scary.
What? The one ant?
Yeah.
One that's their friend?
Well, he's scary at first.
If you're...
Also, doesn't the ant get attacked by something at some point?
Oh, it gets murdered. It gets brutally murdered by a scorpion.
Yeah, it gets destroyed.
Yeah.
It gets disemboweled.
It gets ripped neck to nuts by a scorpion.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. I think that scene I wasn't a fan of either. So.
Hmm.
Oh, and also Bambi. I didn't like Bambi, but that was, you know, that... It's obvious why I didn't like that one. So,
because it's a terrible movie.
It's well, kind of boring, isn't it?
It's so boring.
Oh well, yeah, I also like. I don't know that one's not. It doesn't really even have a happy ending, does it? What happens at the end? Just that Bambi gets away.
Oh, spoilers! I'm gonna give away everything.
Bambi's mom takes a bullet, and then the movie ends.
Eats it in the face.
I don't know what does happen at the end of that movie. I don't remember. Brisket, have you seen that movie lately?
No, I have no. I have no idea how it ends.
You haven't shown the deer death to your children's yet.
We're still working on Lion King.
Ooh, oh, Lion King. At least you know there's some redemption at the end. So, no, where's Bambi? No, but well, I think we're kind of done talking about Home Alone here, except for I think Brisket, you had something you wanted to share about Home Alone.
Yeah, I found a reason why this game is the most best game of all time. Woo! And I got a review here from somebody named Sweet Bee on Amazon. The title of this review is 5 stars.
Oh boy.
Oh.
And the entire review says,
oh no,
Nintendo is awesome. 5 stars.
That's all. That's what we got. Nintendo Oh wow.
That's
well. I must say, I was not expecting that.
That's succinct, but probably
very accurate. You know, Nintendo is awesome.
The body of their review, I agree with, but the subject, I could not disagree more. So I'm at a crossroads here.
Mm-hmm. So GameFAQs is normally pretty liberal on game reviews. Like, you know, you'll normally find someone who's contrarian who will rate something higher. The average for Home Alone is 1.92 based on 87 votes. It is the 37 lowest rated action game.
Mm.
It is rated as the 1208th best game overall. The highest review, someone named Hannibal Smith has given it 4 hearts, but it's clearly an ironic review because the title for it is "This game is freaking hilarious."
Yeah.
So the best legit review is probably A. Krajewski calls it an all right game. This is the first game in the Home Alone series for the Nintendo. You must try to outwit these two bozos for a certain amount of time. Once time runs out, you win. Fairly simple, yet enough to grab your attention for about 3 minutes or so. Read on.
Yeah, that is accurate. Yeah, okay. You'll like this game for a 20th of what you should be playing it.
Well, I don't want to read this whole thing, which, by the way, this whole thing is probably about 150, 200 words, but still, that's too many. Graphics, 6 of 10. Audio, 7 of 10. Gameplay, 6.5 of 10. The gameplay is okay, but you can get stuck sometimes when you try to go downstairs or up the ladder. Other than this, the gameplay is okay, and the speed of the game is just about right. Difficulty, 10 out of 10. This game is very difficult. You must get away from the two idiots for a certain amount of time.
Sounds
easy, right? Nope, it is near impossible. Plus, no game genie codes or anything like that. You're on your own in this game.
Hmm.
And that, for I don't know why, but that averages out to a 6 out of 10 overall. Only one category was lower than a 6 for him, though. Well, graphics was a 6. Everything else was above a 6. Yet overall, it's a 6. So, I'm not sure if I agree with the math here for A. Krajewski.
I don't know if I agree with any of it.
Andy Krajewski. Email. This will shock you, but it actually has his email address on here. It is abaseball6@AOL.com. Good for him.
Mm, good. Wow.
Yep. Well.
Interesting.
I'm sure he still checks that account, so if anyone wants to send him a note, he has 5 reviews on GameFAQs, all from 1999. I'm sure he
should have tried to get him on tonight.
I know.
Really dropped the ball there.
Other games he enjoyed: Real Monsters, Blood for the PC, Bodyworks Voyager, Missions in Anatomy.
Okay.
not such a fan of Trophy Bass for the PC though. So that one only got 3 out of 5 hearts. So can't win them all.
It's a shame.
Yep. All right. I think we're moving right along here to the email portion of the show. Huel, did you receive any mails?
Well, gonna have to say, if anyone could guess, I did receive one email.
Oh!
And it is from Scooterbutt42.
Oh, Scooty.
Old Scoots.
Scooty writes, "Dear Your Pear Bay, sorry I've been surly lately. The holiday season is coming up, and sometimes it just gets me antsy. Tinsel makes me itchy. To try to cheer myself up, I heeded Greenwell's advice and scoured the local Walmart's bargain bin for some games I could resell. I found Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey.
Oh, wow.
DJ Hero. And Big Rigs.
Oh, no.
I'm sure to get some big bucks from these. I've already listed them on eBay from the library. So anyway, what are some of your favorite Christmas video game memories? Sincerely, Scooterbutt42.
Oh, wow.
So it seems like Scooty might be asking, like, maybe gifts we received. Mm. Just lit up our day.
Mm. Yeah, clearly.
Really, really made.
Are these Christmas video game memories?
Christmas a special time. Maybe like just like your favorite video game related gift or what have you?
I don't think I've ever received a video game for Christmas.
What?
That is
yeah, it's surprising.
That is surprising.
It is surprising.
Seems to be like the big time of year to get the big game you've been waiting for.
Yeah. Did you get any PC games for Christmas?
Oh, right.
No.
No Heroes.
We just got
no Heroes of Might and Magic 2.
No Grim Fandango for Christmas. Hmm. Well, honestly, that is surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's weird. I actually I don't remember many that I got for Christmas. I know I definitely did because I was a gamer growing up, so I would get one or two every year for Christmas. Although at a certain point, I think once I hit like 11 or 12, my parents just basically gave up and gave me money to buy the games I wanted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I remember is that I would have specific chores. I would have chores that like, hey, go mow the lawn and you get $10. So I'd save up my lawn mowing money to buy a video game. And Christmas would be just something random.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it wasn't so much that for me. It's that my mother would try, but she had no idea what games to get for me. Like, and I would normally be suggesting, oh, I want this obscure RPG that they only made 15 copies of for Nintendo. And by the way, 10 of them were delivered to one store in Wisconsin, leaving 5 for the rest of America.
That's why you make Christmas lists, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a big part of it.
Well, I do remember one year, probably the legitimately best game I got was Illusion of Gaia for the Super Nintendo.
What?
Which is it's weird.
It's an RPG.
Oh, well, what is that? What does that stand for?
Well, it's more like a Zelda RPG though. Like it's
so not an RPG.
No, it's like an action adventure game.
There we go.
Although it has more of a story line. It was from the Super Nintendo. And it was, I think it was by Enix, which is,
pre-Square.
Yeah, definitely.
Post-Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I think Nintendo actually published it in America. And it was weird. I remember it came with a free t-shirt, which I didn't want to wear.
That is strange.
Yeah, I didn't wear it, but my mom would wear it.
It's like I bought this damn thing. I might as well wear this t-shirt.
Pretty much. Like, you know, the Greenwells can be thrifty people, and she wasn't going to let a t-shirt go to waste.
Oh, no.
So I'm pretty sure she wore the t-shirt from time to time. Which, it had like a character from the game. It had like their face on it or something. So
that is very strange.
Yeah, I don't remember if she wore it out in public that much. Like, I feel like she wore like a coat over it or something like that. But yeah. So that was one. Oh, and I also got Ninja Turtles, the first game for Christmas one year. That was a good get from Santa.
That's a good go to.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Huel? Did you get any games for Christmas?
My most fond memory is probably getting the N64.
Oh, nice.
It was like the year it came out, like the month it came out.
Oh, wow.
I guess it came out in like November. But the problem was,
yeah, I remember it coming out in September.
There were not many games for it. So the first game I got, or the only game I got at that time, was Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
Which
clearly it is a great example of the 3D technology that the N64 could deliver.
What?
And by that I mean it was just the 2D sprite side-scrolling video fighting game.
Yeah.
So
I
little delayed satisfaction there, but just the fact that I had it was enough for me.
Yeah, I played that game. It was okay. It was kind of
it's just a normal Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah,
like 16-bit side-scrolling style on a very powerful machine.
Yeah, I think isn't it just pretty much exactly Mortal Kombat 3, but just
with more characters?
Yeah, just for the N64.
I don't know. Is there a difference between 1, 2, and 3 besides the characters?
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, I think 3 puts in like a run button.
Sure.
I apparently got a Nintendo for one Christmas, but I don't remember getting it. So I think it happened when I was like 4 or 5. But the thing was, like, I got my Super Nintendo and my N64, I think, for my birthday, because my birthday falls in February. So I would save up money from Christmas. And then, I would make a deal with my parents. Like, I'd pay half the system cost, and for the other half, they would pick up the other half and get it for my birthday, like that kind of thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, let's make a deal. Get me get me that Super Nintendo with Super Mario World.
If you save up enough UPCs, you'll get a free T-shirt.
Exactly. Brisket, did you get any mails this week?
Unfortunately, my email vessel is parched.
Oh,
that's a shame. It's been empty for a while.
Yeah,
getting thirsty there.
Yeah, send your emails in.
No, sorry.
ypbpodcast@gmail.com. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry to hear that. I received one email. Hey guys, first time, long time. If you could pick any TV show to base a video game on, which would be the worst one to choose? Sincerely, Jerry Van Dyke, star of My Mother, the Car.
Huh.
Oh, it's oddly specific.
Yeah. I mean, normally we say, you know, this is...
We're normally left
guessing. It's got to be a coincidence, right? That's not the real Jerry Van Dyke.
No. He says he was the star of My Mother, the Car.
Well, there could be like 20 of those guys out there.
They're not all the star of My Mother, the Car.
Okay.
Like, he wrote that.
Yeah.
He let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
So normally, we're left guessing, is this the real Enrique Iglesias?
Yeah.
Did Enrique write in? I don't remember.
I think Julio wrote in.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Orenthal has written in a couple times.
And Harry Connick Sr.
Yes. Jerry Van Dyke, by the way, still alive. So,
yeah, he wrote an email.
Yeah, this letter.
I mean, that would be weird if he was dead.
He outlived Dick Van Dyke. So, good for him.
Were they related?
I think so.
Strange.
Wait, is Dick Van Dyke alive too?
He is. Yeah, he's pushing 90.
Yeah, what the hell, Steven?
Oh, they're racing.
Putting him in an early grave.
Jerry Van Dyke's a little brother. He was only 84, so he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was Luther Van Damme on Coach. Now, there's a game. Now, that would make a good...
What was the question?
That would make a good game, actually.
The worst game based off a TV show?
The worst game based off a TV show.
Roseanne.
Dan!
Because what the hell would you do?
Just make loose meat sandwiches and sell them at the...
Oh, how about just like the Big Bang Theory? Just think of like the worst TV show, and it's probably going to be a bad video game.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go with, speaking of the Van Dykes, how about the Mary Tyler Moore show?
The Mary Tyler Moore show?
What about Maude?
No, because Maude, you would get a theme, that theme song in there. That theme song's good.
Oh, that brings me back to something from Home Alone. Some of the best music is in Home Alone, and
yes,
none of it
yes, yes,
is
yes.
in the video game.
This is why the
iconic
version,
themes. Yes.
This is why the NES version is the worst as well. It's
completely
complete because
new,
if you
new terrible here, music.
Here's the thing: when you boot up the Game Boy version, I played the Game Boy version immediately after playing the NES version, and
yes.
my mind was blown.
You're
put
at ease.
I was hearing that tinkling music from that amazing John Williams score.
Yes.
The classical song. On the title screen of the Game Boy version, and already that puts it ahead of the NES version.
Sorry,
just on the title screen.
Bit of a tangent there.
No, it's all right. I mean, they had plenty of music to choose from.
Clearly,
the movie.
Yeah.
You could have done "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree."
Well, not even a licensed song, but just the John Williams score alone.
Yeah, the John Williams score is great. It's one of the all time classics of the John Williams oeuvre.
Well,
Home Alone would not make a good movie.
Maud.
I also thought of this is a movie, not a TV show, but I thought of The Wizard. That would probably not make a good game.
Would it be a game about playing games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A game where you are trying to actually, you know what? Maybe you're right. It might be fun to try to get your autistic brother to California for a video game tournament. You could have some driving stages, and they go to a casino at one point and play craps. So, no, you're right. I retract that. That would be a decent game. So
yeah.
Same thing with Coach. Coach would be a good football game.
Is the Wizard like the child's Rain Man?
It is. I mean, they have that deaf and dumb kid, right?
Yeah. Have you seen that movie, Huel?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a classic good bad movie. In that you can't believe a lot of stuff is happening. Yeah. there's a really good YouTube video that points out all of the errors in the movie, and there's like 50 or 60 of them in a video game errors in a movie about video games. So
sounds right. Oh.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
There it is.
Yeah, that's from when Fred Savage brings his little autistic brother to play against Lucas the Heavy for money.
Jerk.
Or something like that. There are no adult supervision in this movie. It's one of those kind of movies. Except for the guy who recovers lost kids is like the creepiest guy ever, the scariest adult in the movie. It's definitely worth checking out, Huel.
I'll keep it in mind.
Put it on your Christmas list, or click through on Amazon.com for that through the YPB link. So
YPBpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Brisket, did you have a quick nomination for worst game? What TV show is the worst game?
I started off with Mary Tyler Moore Show, but I'm going to update that to Murphy Brown.
The patriarchy running strong.
Well, any show where there's just talking would probably
Talking sitting in an office. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
Or with a strong female lead, apparently. Would make a terrible video game. Can't have that.
His two picks were the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Can't have a professional woman in the workplace.
Yeah. Now the Carol Burnett Show, that would just be fun.
Yeah, be wacky.
Just people laughing and changing in and out of outfits. Good for them. All right. On that note, I think we're just about set here for this week's show. Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Yeah. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
All right. And Huel, how about you?
Steven, you're what the French call les incompetents.
Oh, that is what they say about me. A lot of deep wounds. All right, now we have a very special episode next week. So here's a little snifferoo from what you can expect from that show. It's Huell Howser.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But
Todd Brisket.
I had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.